Welcome, cherished viewers, to Planet Earth, our loving home. The World Watch Institute, a renowned U.S. environmental think tank, recently posed the question, are livestock emissions killing the planet? On the cover of the November-December 2009 issue of its periodical World Watch magazine. Retired World Bank Group lead environmental advisor Dr. Robert Goodland and research officer and environmental specialist for the group's International Finance Corporation division, Jeff Onhang, addressed this question in their article, Livestock and Climate Change. Their answer was a resounding yes, as they concluded that the livestock production cycle and supply chain produce at least 51% of human-caused global greenhouse gas emissions.
The 2006 United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, or FAO, report, Livestock's Long Shadow, concluded that the livestock industry is responsible for 18% of such emissions. Even this figure is significant considering that global emissions from the transportation sector, the focus of many current government reduction programs, accounts for only 13% of greenhouse gases released worldwide. The report is even more remarkable for the fact that it was written by the livestock group within the FAO. Dr. Goodland and Mr. Onhang based their study on the FAO's calculations, expanding on them by including emissions they believe were missed, undercounted, or misallocated.
On last week's program, we looked at some of the author's additions, such as animal respiration and land use changes with respect to calculating livestock emissions. Today, we'll look at their assumptions about the total number of livestock on the planet, the importance of weighting methane emissions appropriately, and other data from which they conclude that livestock are responsible for at least 51% of human-induced global greenhouse gas emissions.
In their calculations, the World Watch authors assumed a higher number of livestock living on the Earth than did livestock's long shadow, which estimated 21.7 billion farm animals on the planet based on 2002 data. Dr. Goodland and Mr. Onhang used an estimate of 50 billion livestock, which is supported by information from various non-governmental organizations as well as some of the Food and Agriculture Organization's own numbers. To account for this discrepancy, they add 10 percentage points to the FAO estimates of emissions produced by livestock. By either comparison, the number of farm animals on the planet dwarfs the human population of 6.7 billion.
Next, to address what they felt was an undercounting of the methane produced by animal agriculture, the authors added nearly 8 percentage points to the FAO estimates of emissions from livestock, based on the view that it is more relevant to look at methane's impact over a shorter time period. How scientists account for methane in climate change models is a subject of debate and relates to the atmospheric lifetime, or the time that a gas remains and continues warming the atmosphere after being emitted.
The FAO report examined the effects of methane and all other greenhouse gases over a 100-year time period, making the effects of CO2 much more pronounced and methane less so. Over 100 years, methane is 25 times more potent than CO2 in terms of global warming potential. By contrast, the article Livestock and Climate Change evaluated methane's effects over a 20-year period, making its impact much more significant at 72 times the potency of CO2. Over a 5-year period, methane is 100 times more potent than CO2. The question then is, between these two greenhouse gases, which makes the most sense to address first, and why?
The planet is heating up very quickly, so the best way to bring about rapid cooling is to immediately reduce the production of shorter-lived gases. United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change scientist Dr. Kirk Smith of the University of California, Berkeley, USA, has said that even if the world were to immediately transition to a zero-carbon economy today, the planet would still warm to catastrophic levels. Furthermore, the technologies to create a true zero-carbon economy simply do not exist at this time.
In his presentation to the State of California, USA's Air Resources Board entitled Carbon on Steroids, The Untold Story of Methane, Climate Change, and Health, Dr. Smith proposed that while addressing carbon dioxide emissions is important in the long run, It is imperative that we work to reduce methane emissions immediately, and provided information from this important talk in the Supreme Master Television interview.
Some 25 years ago, when the first IPCC report was done and the first meeting was held in Rio, the Earth Summit, climate change seemed very far away. And the big actor in the long term, of course, is carbon dioxide. But now that climate change is much more upon us, and we're already seeing major impacts, ecological impacts, particularly melting of glaciers and the sea ice disappearing and so on, we're realizing that it's not so far away and that we have to think about the immediate term as well as the long term. The science has also progressed substantially, and we understand now that there are some shorter-lived pollutants, greenhouse pollutants, that have an effect on climate in the shorter term. Sure, we have to deal with CO2 in the long run. But if you want to make an impact on climate in the next 20 years, the place to do it is with the shorter-lived greenhouse gases, most important of which is methane. So of the emissions in the next 20 years, the CO2 in this year's emissions will only be about 40% of the total warming. The other 60% or more will be from the shorter-lived gases, most important of which is methane.
When we return, we'll explore the latest research about methane's global warming potential. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television.
Welcome back to Planet Earth, Our Loving Home. In their paper, Livestock and Climate Change, recently published in the World Watch magazine, former and current World Bank environmental experts Dr. Robert Goodland and Jeff Onhang conclude that 51% of human-caused global greenhouse gas emissions come from the livestock industry. In their article, they add nearly 8 percentage points to the Food and Agriculture Organization's estimates of methane's effect on climate change because the global warming potential of the gas is greater on a shorter time scale rather than a longer one.
Research published in the October 2009 issue of the journal Science found that methane has an even larger global warming potential than previously thought, due to its interaction with aerosols or tiny particles in the air produced by activities such as burning of fossil fuels. Using computer modeling, Dr. Drew Schindel and his colleagues at the U.S. National Aeronautics and Space Administration, or NASA, Goddard Institute for Space Studies in New York, USA, found that over a 100-year period, methane has a global warming potential of 33 rather than 25, the figure used in the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change calculations. It has also been previously found that carbon dioxide's potency is minimized due to the presence of aerosols. When fossil fuels are burned, in addition to CO2, the aerosols released have a cooling effect. Noam Moore, adjunct professor of physics at New York University, USA, explained this process to Supreme Master Television.
So when you burn these fossil fuels, you get carbon dioxide, which heats the planet, and aerosols, which cool the planet. And the net effect, if you calculate them out, comes out to about zero. They roughly cancel each other out. So the warming we've been seeing and are likely to see in the near future is dominated by other sources, the main one of which is methane. We have a critical environmental crisis now happening with effects that we're seeing around the world. And if we want to address the warming we're seeing now, the best bang for our buck comes in addressing the other gases, mostly methane, and its number one source, animal agriculture.
With regard to solutions, the World Watch authors call for people to embrace meat and dairy analogs made from crops such as soybeans to assist themselves in quickly moving to a plant-based diet, suggesting that the shift would even increase job opportunities because cultivating these plants is labor-intensive. British physicist Dr. Alan Calvert points out that many farmers currently receive significant government subsidies to raise livestock and so are willing to support the shift to a vegan diet if subsidized by their governments.
I've had a brief discussion with some farmers, a live radio interview. As far as farmers in Britain and Europe are concerned, they will grow whatever you provide them a subsidy to grow. If you offer them a subsidy for growing soybeans instead of beef, they'll grow soybeans. Essentially, all you can do with a farm is either grow root crops or grassy things. The question is, what do you do with the grassy things? Well, if the grassy things include beans, humans could eat them. If the grassy things are just grass, then any cattle can eat it. But as far as the farmer's concerned, he's got the same amount of land and the choice of what he grows on it.
In closing, it should be noted that the most respected climate change experts of our times are echoing Robert Goodland and Jeff Anhang's call for an immediate worldwide change in diet, with many publicly stating that people should shift to a vegetarian lifestyle to mitigate global warming. Dr. Rajendra Pachauri, a vegetarian and the chair of the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, is calling for people to eat less meat. And Dr. James Hansen, director of NASA's Goddard Institute of Space Studies, has stated that changing to a more vegetarian diet is the single most effective action an individual can take to reverse global warming. His Excellency, former U.S. Vice President Al Gore, is acknowledging the huge impact of meat consumption on global warming as well, and says he is modifying his own diet in response and recommends increased intake of fruits and vegetables.
The UK's Lord Nicholas Stern, who says he is reducing his own meat consumption, recently called for a vegetarian diet to be part of the solution to climate change. Lord Stern, former chief economist at the World Bank, advisor to the British government, and noted climate change economist, has stated, "Meat is a wasteful use of water and creates a lot of greenhouse gases. It puts enormous pressure on the world's resources. A vegetarian diet is better." Another environmental leader who has highlighted the importance of the vegetarian diet is Vio de Boer, Executive Secretary of the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. Regarding global warming, he has said, "The best solution would be for us all to become vegetarians."
We applaud Dr. Robert Goodland and Mr. Jeff Anhang for writing Livestock and Climate Change, and for calling the world's attention to the fact that most of Earth's human-induced greenhouse gases come from the livestock industry. We also sincerely thank environmental leaders such as Ivo de Boer, Dr. Rajendra Pachauri, Lord Stern, and many others for promoting the vegetarian diet as the immediate way to stop climate change. May their wise words be quickly heeded, so that we can save our precious abode. Thank you for joining us for Planet Earth, Our Loving Home. Coming up next is enlightening entertainment after noteworthy news. May you find peace, joy, and fulfillment with the healthy plant-based diet.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/PE.